That was the Gap Band with Steppin'. Before that, we had Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings with People Don't Get What They Deserve. And we started that set off on tonight's show with Parliament, with the ever-so-funky track from Chocolate City, Ride On. And speaking of Parliament, I am joined with a very special guest, none other than the great Freak Bass. Freak, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man. Good to hear your voice.
Right back at you. What's new? What's been going on with you?
Oh, man, well, we've been, touring pretty heavy since the last time I talked to you. The main thing we've been focusing in is getting this new album done. We got signed to a pretty cool label about 6 months ago called Rope-A-Dope Records, and they got some pretty cool artists on the label, and I've been listening to them since I've been a kid. And so we were doing our first album for them and recording it down in Lexington, Kentucky, with Mr. Dwayne Lundy again at Shangri-La Production Studios, and turned out pretty nice, man. I'm pretty excited to get it out there for sure.
Yeah, it seems like you could have gone with anyone. What brought you back to the fine city of Lexington?
Well, I mean, Dwayne and I really connected really on Everybody's Feeling Real, the last album. So it really was kind of almost a no-brainer. We were almost kind of semi. When we finished Everybody's Feeling Real, we were almost kind of semi-planning from all the stuff we learned from that record for the next record. So this one's real nice because, when I did the last album with him, I hadn't really been touring that much lately before that with my own thing. I've been doing more with other people. And since then, I've been hitting, which is, about a year and a half, 2 years ago, I've been hitting it pretty hard on the touring circuit. So, with the band was, at a different level in terms of tightness from the studio. We did a ton of pre-production on this album before we even got together with Dwayne. And the fact, like I mentioned, that Dwayne and I know each other a lot more, not only as musicians and artists and producers, but also as people, too, which obviously helps a lot. So the whole process of this album just went quick. And I think we got some pretty solid stuff out of it, too.
And I know that with the last record, when we talked about it, you said that, when you went into the studio, a lot of those songs you had kind of the structures out, but not necessarily from a lyrical standpoint.
Right.
Was that the same with this record, or did you kind of come out a little different?
No, we definitely had pretty close to complete songs on a lot of it, especially on the lyrical side. If we didn't have the full song written out lyrically, we at least had a real strong concept that the song was going to be about. But a lot of lyrics are written quite a bit. It's a lot of them on the road. Like, we did a big tour, it was late summer, late August, and we did, we were out for not quite a month out in the West Coast. And a lot of that, we had some down days out there, so we would just pull ourselves up in the hotel room and just start the whole band, and we'd just start banging out lyrics and bouncing ideas off of each other. And so by the time we got to Dwayne's to start really laying stuff down, we had a pretty good idea of where we were going to go from the beginning.
Well, I'm one of my things, since I was a DJ at RFL, the thing with WRFL was that they didn't play the hits. They always played the B-sides of stuff.
Sure.
So I guess in starting out with that, let's kind of keep in the vein. I know that Put It in a Letter has been the one of the big tracks that a lot of people have been playing. But what would you say that a B-side to that would be?
A B-side to Put It in a Letter? Oh, shoot. I mean, maybe the opening track, Don't Waste My Time. I mean, those kind of two go together. The whole album is obviously groove-oriented, but, I mean, there's a lot of, one thing that probably worth mentioning too on this album is a couple of the songs, two of the songs. One of the songs is I Know That I'll Get Your Love Tonight, and what's the other one? Living the Connection. Yeah, both those songs were written. A guy I grew up with, a guy by the name of Atul Shore, keyboard player that we grew up since we started playing in band together since we were like 12 years old. He moved to New York City about 10, 15 years ago. And he ended up co-writing Smooth, a Santana song, with Rob Thomas, and won a Grammy. And, he wrote songs now for Maxwell and for Jewel, and he's on all kinds of people's records now. He's an incredible songwriter. So, it's always been a good thing. But when the Rope-A-Dope thing came to be, I've never really wanted to press him on this thing, but I said, hey, man, I called him up. I said, would you be into, you know, getting together with me and trying to co-write a couple songs? And he was all about it. He came, he's from Cincinnati originally, so he came down here to Cincinnati, and we kind of holed up in my studio down here. And so we wrote a couple songs together, and so a couple of those songs ended up being on the album too as well. One of those songs, actually, Living the Connection, there's a remix of that song on the album, which is done by Doug Windisch from Living Color. Doug, bass player from Living Color and from Tackhead and, you know, all kinds of incredible groups. He, him and I played with Mick Jagger for a while. Him and I kind of knew each other through the bass community, which is kind of a semi-small net of people. Bass Player Live is a thing that Bass Player Magazine puts on every couple of years. We met out there, and we worked for the same company, the instructional DVD company called Rockhouse Method a few years ago. And he has this thing every year called Wimbash at the NAMM show, which is like a big music convention that he invited me to play at a few years ago. So when this album came together, I asked him, I said, hey, man, and he's such a talented and, you know, really eclectic guy. And obviously I'm a big Living Color fan since I've been a small child. And so I said, hey, man, would you be into doing a remix on this album, kind of adding your flavor to it? So he, you know, heard Living to the Connection and grabbed it. So that his version of Living the Connection's on the album too as well. And it turned out really, really dope. It's a pretty, pretty, pretty special song.
I think definitely it's a good closer to the record. So,
cool.
So in this this next set, you know, you were talking about your friend. What was the name again?
His name's Atal Shore. He's got kind of a crazy name. His dad was born in Russia. It's Ital Atal Shore. Yeah, is his name.
All right. Well, why don't we take a couple listens to a couple of songs from the record? Like I said earlier, I really like Don't Waste My Time, and You Don't Have the Time. But what was one of the songs that Atal wrote on the record?
Yeah, well, Atal and I co-wrote the song called Living the Connection, and he had this kind of just basic kind of chord structure thing. And then it was one of the ones that we were sitting around in the hotel room when we were touring and kind of came up with that, had that little Living the Connection. And the song's kind of deep. It's about, you know, with all the social technology that we have and you know, and so much social media and everybody, even that you're supposed to feel more connected with people, it's in a way everything's more cold and you're more disconnected with people. So it's kind of talking about that dichotomy of, you know, being in this cold room behind your computer screen or behind your iPhone, even that we're supposed to be more connected in the society.
All right, so here we go. This is Freak Bass with Living the Connection. And that was Freak Bass with Don't Waste My Time. And before that, we had You Don't Have the Time. And we started that set off with Living the Connection, a song that was co-written with Freak Bass by Atal Shore. And Freak Bass, now, the name of this album is Cincinnati. And I know that, and I'm going to go ahead and just say that I am a bit of a nerd. And I have, even though I'm a guitar player, I've watched a lot of your bass instructional stuff on YouTube. It seems like there are a lot of these songs that you have on the record are not necessarily like brand new, but kind of like transformed into becoming a part of this record and something that maybe changed the way that you have as most artists do.
Yeah, well, like a couple of songs, You Don't Have the Time being one of them, and Up, 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 those two in particular kind of were like live jams more than anything else. The only albums I've ever had those on is we had a live album that they were on. And, you know, I was always thinking, you know, that those have been such a staple of the set I've done, you know, so many changes of the set over the years that I was like, man, those songs have never been really recorded, like in a studio sense, in terms of like as a song. So those two particularly, everything else pretty much is brand new material, but those two are the ones that, you know, if you do YouTube searches, you'll see them pop up in different ways and different versions of them live. But this is the first time we actually kind of, you know, hunkered down and try to make them more like an album oriented type song. And so that's definitely what you're hearing on those two.
And when we were talking about off the air, we were talking about You Don't Have the Time. You said that there was a kind of a special guest that was on that song, right?
Yeah. She's on that song and Up, Up, Up. Ironically, the two ones we're just talking about. Her name is Elise Tostone, and she was she was on American Idol, I think 2012, whatever year. She was on the year she told me when Steven Tyler was one of the guest judges there. So, which is, like she said, was a trip. But the way I met her actually had nothing to do with American Idol. Was I was doing, there's a guy that put, these brothers that put together this kind of a super group. They're called, it's called the James Brown Dance Party, and they put together kind of grab just kind of people around the touring circuit that we all do, just different musicians for different shows. And so they had a show up in Baltimore. They asked me to come up there and play bass for it, and Elise was actually fronting the band. She's amazing. I mean, she's, and she can kill the James. I mean, she's a female, but she's got, I mean, she can do like the Robert Plant stuff and the James Brown stuff. She's got a really, really thick and heavy voice. So we got, we kind of hit it off, and when I started recording this album, I, you know, with these two songs came to my mind, and I, you know, called her up. I said, hey, would you be into, you know, laying some of that, some of your magic down on these two songs? And she was all about it. So, yeah, she just plays on both these songs. So, she, you know, she came in and did some background vocals on both, both the songs, and really added a new dimension to each one of them.
And it also seems like the, this particular album kind of represents more, I guess, what folks can expect with your live show now than maybe the, than maybe Everybody's Feeling Real.
There's no doubt. And me and Bam, actually, my drummer and I, were talking about that. Like, we've been rehearsing these songs, obviously, to bring a lot of these into the set. And it's been fairly easy, just the fact that, you know, Everybody's Feeling Real was almost kind of like, was like a blueprint, and like, okay, now how are we going to recreate these songs live? And we had to kind of think of all these ways to do it. Where with this, it's like, even the songs that were brand, that are brand new songs, because we're such a touring band now, it's not, it doesn't feel so, it's not like we're having to like figure out how we're going to do this or how do we do that. Like, we just do it what we do live. So it's, the process feels way more natural, you know, not only in the playing side of things, but also the vocal sides of things. And also, you know, this album too, which is a little bit different, you know, I don't think there was, as a matter of fact, yeah, I know there wasn't any guitar on Everybody's Feeling Real. I kind of made that conscious decision not to do that, because it's because I have so many, where I'm playing all over my neck with a bass player with so many effects, and I was like, I'm just going to kind of carry the load on that. And on this album, I play pretty good rhythm guitar, so I play a lot of guitar on this album on a lot of the tracks too, as well as bass. So it sounds a little bit kind of more traditional live band type thing too, as well.
Well, and, you know, and in addition to, I guess, in addition to having a kind of the connection of the fact that you, the album was recorded here, you also have a new member of the band that, that lived here at one point in time, right?
Yeah, man. And thanks to you. Yeah. He's, one of my horn player, Dan, who was out touring with us. He was, you know, I always say when you tour, you got to have that like truck driver gene in you. You know, it's not, it's, you know, the stage part is great, but there's a lot more to it than the stage part. A lot, you know, you're sitting in a vehicle for hours at a time, and it's just a hard life if you're not used to it. So Dan was just, you know, my last horn player, he was just kind of getting burned on doing the road thing, because we hit it pretty hard when we hit on the road. So I called about everybody I knew in the world looking for a possible horn replacement. And luckily called you up, and you hooked me up with Jason Bergard, who's been just a godsend, just such a great player, great person. And he's really fit into what we do pretty seamlessly, you know, because, you know, he, you know, with Dan, my last one player, we were kind of ramping up as he was in the band. You know, we were starting, you know, doing a few gigs here and then starting to get busier and busier and busier. But with Jason, it was kind of like we were hitting it pretty hard, and it's like, okay, here you go, you know. And he's jumped right in, and he's done great. He's actually, we got him on a couple tracks on the album too, because he was kind of on the tail end when we were recording the album too. So he's on there as well to add his flavor, and he's been great. You know, I could never think, I never really actually had a chance to really thank you one-on-one about that, DeBron, and I thank you very much, because he's been such a great guy to work with.
Well, you know, one of my favorite things about being in Lexington is the crazy talent that is here. And,
yeah,
you know, it takes a village. But it was actually really funny, because when my first listen through to the record, I've listened to it like three or four times now. But, I, you know, Jason told me, he's like, yeah, I think I'm only on one song. And it was really funny, because, you know, similar to the same way when you can hear somebody on the phone or hear somebody
right,
talking in a group of people, you know their voice, you know that's them. Well, I mean, it's the same way with musicians. And as soon as I heard the song Pharaoh, I was like, oh, that's Jason.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, good ears. You're right. That's the one, too. Yeah, he comes in there and slays on a solo on that one.
Yeah. So, why don't we take a listen to a couple more songs from the album?
Yeah. Well, Pharaoh would be a definitely good one. You know, for sure, to get a little Lexington representation besides this Dwayne, but also, you know, with Jason too as well. That'd be a good one.
All right. Well, let's take a listen to a couple of more songs, and we'll have Pharaoh and Milk Hunt, which another one of those songs that I may or may not have seen you use as a exercise on YouTube.
Right, probably have, right.
And I know that you'll get your love tonight. So
I know that I'll get your love
tonight. Oh, I know that I'll get your love tonight.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, this is Freak Bass with Pharaoh. All right, that was Freak Bass with I Know I'll Get Your Love Tonight. Before that, we had Milk Hunt and started that set off with a track called Pharaoh that features a good friend of mine, Mr. Jason Bergard, on the saxophone.
Yes,
and so you're going to be playing at Cosmic Charlie's when?
Friday, November 20th. So, you know, the Friday after, you know, you guys here hearing all this. Yeah, that's the night. And then, yeah, should be a really, really good night. I mean, it's always crazy at Cosmic Charlie's. And we got John Dose starting the show, a producer / DJ, so to kind of get things rocking and rolling. And, you know, this love. Lexington is always, you know, it's another reason why I wanted to record the album there. Even that we're, you know, I'm a little bit north of you guys, about 75 miles north of you guys. It's Lexington's really felt like a second home and home market to me and the fellas. And, you know, we're really excited to get down there and, you know, and play stuff from the new album.
So, I mean, I guess this might be obvious, but, you know, it seems like, is this like kind of like a pseudo CD release party?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Now, the technical release from Ropadope actually is December 11th. That's when the national release happens, when it goes live. But, you know, I'm hoping to squeeze, hopefully, you know, maybe get even see if I can get some little advanced copies from Ropadope. I'm going to try to shake that tree as hard as I can and get some down there. And we're definitely going to be doing a lot of material from the new album too as well. So this is definitely what you would call the official, unofficial, official CD release party in Lexington.
So then the next album is going to be called Lexington, right?
That you got it. That's right. Or Kentucky, maybe. Yeah.
Well, I know that. I know that you're also a big fan of Midnight Star. So, you know, there's that Kentucky connection here too.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, man. Yeah, for sure.
Well, you know, Freak, I'm so glad that we were able to get this together. I'm always, you know, happy to have you on the show. And I mean, anytime you want to come back, please, you know, just let me know, because you know, it's nice to share this passion with someone else who loves it as much as I do. You know what I mean?
Well, let me say to you too, DeBron, I mean, it's been a real pleasure, even since the last time we've talked on the radio too. It's been exciting for me as another artist to kind of watch the journey that you've been on too as well. So it's you know, really neat to hook back up again and share stories. And, you know, I'm very, very happy for you and your new album. And, you know, you've got some definitely pretty special things going on. So, yeah. So, you know, hopefully next time we'll be talking together at the Grammys or something like that.
Yeah. Or
gotta think big, man. Gotta think big, right?
Right. Well, and you know, the best part about Avi going through recording an album myself is now I know which questions that I know I would get asked all the time, and then ask all the questions that that you know, that it's like, oh, like what's an ISRC code?
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I'll tell you what, that's the wildest thing. This is the first time I've ever been on a label. You know, I've never released anything independently. So it's so the whole process, which would be, you know, a whole other hour conversation, maybe some other time. But this is such a new process to me, like being on a label and seeing them do so much of this stuff. Some of it that I used to do and some stuff I didn't do, that like, because they have relationships with, like, you know, radio and iTunes and, you know, Spotify and all those people too as well. And so you just pretty much give them and you know, they wanted, like, this album's actually been done for, oh, almost a month and a half, 2 months, but they have a almost full 60-day leeway once it's done to work for them to do all their connections and connecting the dots and for pre-promotion, all that stuff. So it's been such a wild process to see how on this side to see someone else doing all this legwork on everything. It's been pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, writing a song and then seeing somebody else play it and be like, oh, okay, that's what this sounds like.
Right, totally. That's exactly what the vibe is. Yeah, for sure.
Well, what are we going to close the show with tonight?
Okay, so I'm trying to think what we've all played so far. How about you know, it's what we close our show with a lot, too, is how about Up, Up, Up?
All right. This is Freak Bass with Up, Up, Up. And Freak Bass will be at Cosmic Charlie's on November 20th with John Dose. And Freak, is there anything else you want to say to the people before you go?
No, man, just I hope we see a lot of your faces out this week, you know, at Cosmics. And, yeah, just thanks for checking out the album. And, you know, like I said, it drops December 11th officially, so just kind of keep an eye out for it. And thank you for letting me do my thing.
Oh, right back at you. And think of it this way. It's a Funkmas present, you know.
There you go. That's the one. Yep.
All right. This is Freak Bass and the Bump Assembly with Up, Up, Up.